Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew.
Yeah, what's good, y'all? I'm Josh So Focus.
I'm French the Bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Mixtape Podcast.
This is episode 58.
And this is a weekly podcast where we bring you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure to follow us on our socials. You can check us out first on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or Twitter/X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, you can check us out at our website, knickstake.com. If you like what you hear, love what you hear, please subscribe. Make sure you hit 5 stars. If you're on the Apple, make sure that you like, subscribe, make sure that you tell your friends and family about us. We really need you guys to help spread the love, spread the podcast. And yeah, we appreciate you.
For sure.
All right. On today's episode, we are going to be covering a few things. Actually, not really. Today is going to be a very, I don't know if it's going to be short yet, but not much to talk about this week. We're going to cover the Knicks beating the Boston Celtics in the preseason opener.
Yeah, they left with a foot in their ass, right?
I'm sorry, what?
They left MSG with a foot in their ass, like I was saying last week.
I mean, sure. So, and then we're going to discuss the three upcoming games that we're going to be playing. We're going to play against Minnesota, mm-hmm. Boston again, and we're going to finish off the preseason against the Washington Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
And the next topic of the week, not really much of a topic of the week unless French has something that I don't know about, but we're just going to do some questions. I might have some questions for French later on, and that's how we're going to cap off this episode.
I got answers for you.
All right, so preseason game numero uno.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks versus the Boston Celtics, kinda. So when we were recording, we failed to do our proper research. Boston actually had a game the night before their Knicks. They had a back-to-back game, so they had a game against, I forgot who they, was it the Sixers?
I think they were playing the Sixers with no Embiid.
Yes, they were playing the Sixers the night before.
No Harden.
And then they played the Knicks right, the very next game after that. And had I known that, I would have not said that the Knicks were going to lose that opening game because they definitely did not play any of their starters. I think they didn't play their top six players, so even their sixth man didn't get no burn in that game.
Yeah, it was a lot of Peyton Pritchard and guys that are going to be vying for bench minutes.
And Luke Kornet, as you brought up last week, got some playing time, and he's their third string center.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even the first center off the bench, not the first big off the bench. So, yeah, the Knicks really went up against a team that was not the team that they're going to be facing during the regular season. Let's just say that.
At least Boston hopes.
That's true. At least Boston hopes that that's the case. So first thing I want to say before we really get into the particulars, it's preseason.
Yep.
It's preseason. You know, what does that mean that it's preseason? That means that anything that happens in preseason doesn't really matter.
I disagree. I had an argument with my friends over the week, like, preseason don't matter. Like, it matters.
It does. It does.
Get your rotation set. Shooters get in rhythm early. You see the progress that young players is making. Maybe for the guys like LeBron and the top of the top players, they don't really care much about preseason. But I care about preseason.
But does preseason really matter for us and the fans? And for anybody who wants to make any broad prediction as to how this team is going to play?
I think so.
What can we learn from the Knicks playing against Peyton Pritchard? Hold on, I got the lineup here. Peyton Pritchard, Delano Banton, Oshai Brissett, Sam Hauser, and Luke Kornet, the Boston Celtics starting five for this preseason game. What do you really learn?
Like the great coach for San Antonio, Greg Popovich, once said, it ain't about who you playing against, it's about perfecting what it is that you do.
That's good for them.
Yeah.
But as far as what you can glean when you watch, you're watching stuff that you're never going to see again. Right?
That's not true.
So you're not. You're, are you? All right. I have it here. Stop trying to look at my notes. I see you. All right. Are we going to see Daquan Jeffries play 12 minutes in any regular season game this year?
If we blowing them out, yeah, but that's not. It's not about Daquan Jeffries. It's about
the system.
You're going to
see Daquan Jeffries play a full quarter of minutes in a game if we're blowing a team out with Tom Thibodeau as our head coach?
No, not 12 minutes.
Okay,
maybe 10.
Well, Jacob Toppin got 9 minutes, so maybe we'll see that.
Yeah,
maybe.
He looked good too.
We may also never mention their names again for this whole for the whole season.
That's also true.
Yes. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Evan Fournier contributed 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Up the trade value. He's going to get up out of here before probably Christmas,
once
hopefully.
Again, are we going to see Evan Fournier play 20 minutes in a game this season?
He played the DiVincenzo role.
All right, let's just get into it. Some things I'm hoping to see moving forward.
Okay.
RJ Barrett and Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Both were perfect from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
And RJ Barrett himself, 9 for 9. Mm-hmm. Hit all 9 of his free throws. That is, if he could hit, he's not going to hit 100% every game. But if his free throws are that good, mm-hmm, for the whole season, boy, we're talking about, he's going to definitely be a 20-point-per-game scorer this season if he can do that.
Yeah, he's done it before. He's capable of it. I feel like free throws were like one of our biggest weaknesses the last few seasons.
Yep, one of his also.
Yeah, one of his. He did shoot well from the free throw line during the playoffs, I believe, but mm-hmm, outside of that, like I think Mitchell Robinson is the one we had to focus on with free throw shooting, and I'm not sure Josh Hart's free throw percentage, but I'm pretty sure we just didn't shoot great as a team. So I'm hoping that this is like something to look forward to throughout the season, because we're going to be getting to the free throw line a lot.
I agree with you that we are going to be getting to the free throw line a lot, which is why it's important that one of our top free throw line getters, one of the guys who get to the free throw line a good amount, which is RJ Barrett. He, mm-hmm, does. He. It's important for him specifically to shoot 90% if he can, or somewhere close to that. And he hasn't gotten to that threshold just yet.
Right.
RJ finished 12 points on 6 shots. And if you put that together with the 9 for 9 free throws, you can tell that means that he particularly didn't shoot well. He only made 1 shot. And it was a 3-point shot on top of the 9 free throws he had to get those 12 points. But still, 12 points on 6 shots is a pretty good percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He was the plus-minus leader in this game, plus 17. We're not going to get into plus-minus again. It's just way too.
It's preseason.
Yeah, it's preseason.
He didn't play the fourth.
Julius, he didn't. Yeah, none of the starters really played. I don't think anybody played 20 minutes outside of Emmanuel Quickley, who's going to be in the rotation. And so Julius didn't look too rusty. I felt he played very well for, mm-hmm, for the short amount of time that he played. But I still felt like sometimes he was holding the ball a little bit too long, trying to get the play that he wanted to go instead, mm-hmm, of letting the game come to him.
Right.
But I'll still take this version of Julius Randle any day. He played very well. And when the starters were out there to start the game, yeah, it was very clear that this team that they were playing against didn't belong on the floor with them. So then we started putting in some of our bench players. You heard us say Evan Fournier was there and some other guys. We saw Dante DiVincenzo. Josh Hart didn't play in this game. He still recovering from some injury.
Right.
And, you know, the bench unit didn't really do what we were expecting it to do, but Nick still played overall, I thought, pretty well. Mitchell Robinson, man,
came to play, came in shape. I like Mitch.
He came in there beasting.
Yeah,
he really, really showed up. Boston had nobody for him. Luke Kornet couldn't hold him. He almost got a double double, or did he get a? He almost got a double double. In 20 plus minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did play 20 plus minutes. He was the only starter to do so in this game. But yeah, if he plays that amount of minutes and he gets those numbers,
mm-hmm.
boy, 10 points in 23 minutes.
He didn't get the double-double. He had 7 rebounds.
He had 7 rebounds.
5 almost, for 6 from the field. Yep,
2 steals, 3 blocks. Boston, once again, had no answer for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he even had 1 block that was turned into a transition dunk.
Yep. Had a good offensive rebound that turned into a nice little putback dunk. That's not putback, but you know what I'm saying.
This is the Mitch that if we can get a good amount of games of him, yeah, we're talking about Knicks being the top 3 seed in the East because he's dominating as a big man, doing what he has to do on the defensive end, cleaning up the boards on the offensive end and getting putbacks. And really, the Knicks really need him to be this Mitch.
Yeah.
And night in and night out. Sometimes it's going to be hard. You know, maybe going up against Joel Embiid, he can't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
Going against Jokic. But against everybody else, he should be able to do that. And if he does that, we're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah. Tibbs labeled him the best offensive rebound in the NBA. And he definitely looked like that in his first little preseason game. So he looks like he's in shape. He's mm-hmm. back to running. I don't think I've seen Mitch run full court like that for a dunk in a few seasons
since
he gained all that weight. So now that he got the muscle plus his athleticism a little bit back, I'm looking forward to just seeing what type of season he's about to have. I see a big season coming from Mitch. And RJ talked about he didn't know NBA basketball without Julius Randle. He also doesn't know that without Mitchell Robinson either.
This is true. Longest tenured Nick. And I believe he may finish this season with some records or moving up in some record books for the Knicks as far as rebounds go. So, and maybe even blocks.
Right.
So, yeah, big Mitch just did his thing in this game, and hopefully he'll do it for the whole season. Some other things that I want to see going forward, the Quickly Show.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you seen that floater that he hit, the and one floater in the first half?
Yeah, I like that.
That was a show of the fact that he improved his strength and that he could take contact, finish through it, hit the shot that he could hit, you know, even without contact. Now he can do it with a good amount of contact.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show how much stronger he is this season. And if he can maneuver that into an even better season this year than he did last year.
I feel like he had that kind of... He was having a lot of plays like that last year, too. Yes. I remember, like, against Boston when he dropped 41 in that double overtime. He had a floater late in that overtime that got us to that win. I felt like the play that I saw from him that made me think, like, he's a lot more poised, calm, and less erratic was when he did a pump fake near the free throw line, got the reaction, and hit the mid-range jumper. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if he could hit that shot consistently all season, he should easily be able to average close to 17 points per game off the bench.
He definitely can lift those points up if he's able to do stuff like that. And he'll be getting those minutes we're trying to figure out who's going to get the minutes.
He getting them.
Off the bench. He's going to get those minutes if he's hitting shots like that.
Yeah, if he's playing poised and under control while maintaining the stability on defense that he's had, if he even improves on defense, like I feel like he's going to have a big year.
I mean, his defense was on point in this game. In this game, he defended very well. But what showed out more than that, 11 points in the third quarter, 21 points on 14 shots,
mm-hmm.
22 minutes of the game played.
Mm-hmm.
Really was one of the best players in this game who got as much burn as he got. Jalen Brunson didn't play much in this game, only played like 5 and change.
Yeah, I don't think he missed a shot.
He couldn't.
He missed one shot, actually.
He could.
4 for 5 from the field in 6 minutes.
In 6 minutes. If he plays like that, first of all, how do you do that in 5 and change and you still just cook? Like, if you could do that in a regular season, he's going to be an all-star. Like, it's not a question. That kind of quick burst play. I don't know if he knew he wasn't going to play along, and that's why he just like, y'all got who up against me?
Yeah.
Let me hit these 4 shots real quick.
Yeah.
All right, I'm out of here, peace.
He ain't losing stuff.
Yeah, maybe he knew that coming into the game, and that's why he played like that, but the fact that he can do it, it doesn't matter who it was against.
Right.
In such a short stint, just shows a lot.
Right, for sure.
Grimes, I enjoyed his passing. For the most part, he did a lot of fancy stuff. Four assists, which was a team high, which he shared with Deuce McBride.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an end of a quarter pass for a buzzer-beating dunk to Isaiah Hartenstein.
Yeah.
That just his...
Well, no, that was Dante.
Dante DiVincenzo did
that? Yeah, that was Dante.
Okay, my mistake. But he still had a bunch of passes that just, he got the ball, he got rid of it, yeah, and it led to scoring.
Yeah.
And that was really, that's, we knew he could do that. It's good to see it again. We need to see more from him in terms of his ability to create his own shot. But the passing, I'm never going to complain about the good passing,
yeah,
that he did. And we got a bunch of guys who can pass. We got Julius, we got Jalen Brunson, we got RJ, we got Quickly, Grimes.
Team full of playmakers.
Yeah. And if we can combine, if everybody can combine their powers with our powers combined, we can be an assist leading team in the NBA.
Yeah.
And that's something that the Knicks haven't done. And it's just crazy considering all of these guys. Like, if you hear one of them gets close to 10 assists in a game, you wouldn't be surprised. But somehow, as a team, we don't pass as well. So
that's
something that we can, I would love to see moving forward, just everybody just passing.
So what are your thoughts about the game so far and this whole preseason so far for the Knicks? You think it's a good outlook of what the season's going to look like, or it's too early to call it?
It's preseason, man. Like, it's preseason. Like, I was happy to see preseason be here. I was happy to watch Knicks basketball. And now I'm just like, all right, let's get the regular season started. But we still, they need to get these games in so that I can be happy with what I see in the regular season.
Yeah.
Like, they need to get this rust off. Some of these players need to get back into the game shape, you know, get back into the grind. So that's why I say, like, for us, it doesn't really matter. But for us to be happy, they need these preseason games to get all the kinks out so that Tom Thibodeau can see a bunch of rotations that he hasn't tried and see how it looks, see if maybe he can see something that he didn't see before. And also, maybe in these preseason games, these next three, Dante DiVincenzo can play a little bit better. He kind of came out in the third quarter, but overall, I was not really liking what I was seeing.
Really?
For the most part, no. Like, the first half, there was nothing that he did that really showed out.
That iHeart pass to beat the buzzer, I felt like that was a great pass that we wasn't seeing stuff like that. Last year, we would have seen somebody just chuck a shot with the shot clock running out.
I think we saw that with Josh Hart, maybe. But
yeah.
But, yeah, it wasn't something that we saw a lot. But, you know, if Josh, we've seen Josh Hart do it. If he was on the court instead of DDV, then we probably would have seen something similar. And
he did.
But when did he hit them? Yeah. which is my thing. Like, when he came on the court, I was expecting a little bit more from him. And I'll bring him up later at the end of the episode. But yeah, I just want to see him play a little bit more so I can get a better grasp of his game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't follow Golden State. So while we did see a lot of stuff from him, we don't really know him as a player the way that we know our players.
Yeah.
Grimes, Quickly, Hartenstein being kind of careless with the ball sometimes. But that's part of preseason, too.
Yeah, get the kinks out.
So you got anything you want to say? Any thoughts on that game? Or?
Nah, we don't. We talked about every key point from that game. I feel like we could move on to the next one.
Okay.
Right. By the time this episode comes out, the Knicks will have faced the Minnesota Timberwolves. That game is actually going to be happening today. I'll be in attendance for this game. The Minnesota Timberwolves are undefeated as of right now. They're 2-0 in the preseason. They're going to come to New York, leave with a foot in the ass again. So they're going to get their first preseason loss due to Jalen Brunson playing some more minutes. Julius Randle playing a little bit more minutes, getting, you know, some chemistry with their new lineup, new rotation. Not really much change in the rotation, but I think RJ's going to take a step forward. he's more comfortable, I think, after that playoff run where he finally fit in with the team. Mm-hmm. I think Julius Randle's going to be looking to shoot a lot more efficiently. And the last time we played Minnesota, we lost to, what was his name, who didn't miss, Taurean Prince? No, Tayshaun, what's his name?
I don't know. I don't remember names of people who don't exist because nobody ever torched the Knicks.
Yeah. The very next game, I think he was scoreless. Like, he just went crazy, 5 for 5 from three.
I kind of remember something.
That left a bad taste in our mouth, I feel like. So, even though it's preseason, we're going to get our payback for that.
Okay.
We're not going to be, we're only going to see Minnesota twice a year. So the fact that we're playing them in the preseason, I think we're gonna get some give back.
You're not scared of Kat or Anthony Edwards? You didn't bring him up not one time in this whole.
Anthony Edwards is the only player on that team that like could turn up, and he's never turned up against the Knicks.
This is true.
So he doesn't really put any fear in my heart. I respect him as a player. But
I think RJ plays him really well. I think RJ plays Anthony Edwards really well, which probably is why he doesn't really turn up against the Knicks.
Right.
But yeah, I'm predicting a win also.
Yeah, but yeah,
nice. Even if they both play, the only way that the Knicks lose this game is if we play Jalen Brunson 5 minutes, Julius Randle 10 minutes, and we have a similar game to the first game that we had in Boston. Yeah. Other than that, we're winning this one.
And Josh Hart's going to actually play this game. He's going to be on a minutes restriction due to, like you said earlier, he's battling a little injury. But anytime you have Josh Hart playing, that's only going to benefit your team. I don't really see who on Minnesota is going to give any of these players a hard time, to be honest with you. I'm predicting Knicks leaving this game 2-0. Mm-hmm. By the time this episode comes out, we'll know the know the result. You say that the Knicks are going to win as well. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other takes about this game?
Only that it's preseason and I don't really care about it. I'm ready for the regular season.
All right.
So after that, the Knicks are going to go to Boston for the second preseason matchup between the two.
JT should be playing this game. Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
I think
you don't think they're gonna hold him out?
They have an entirely new roster damn near as well too. Well, Drew Holiday taking the Marcus Smart role.
I mean, I was saying to myself, yeah, they should all play. And then I said, but what if they don't play? What would be the reasons why? And they are gonna play the Knicks for the opener.
Game one, yep.
So why would they go out there and give the Knicks some intel on how they're going to play in game one? Maybe they don't play. Maybe they're not ready for the Knicks.
They got to get some chemistry for their teammates, though. Drew Holiday has never played with this team before. He's going to be the starting point guard. He needs to get some burn.
I mean, they think they might be top two in this NBA-ish. But really, the truth is they're scared. They scared of the Knicks. But anyway,
Drake reference.
So yeah, I'm not sure that they are gonna play. But if they do, I'm still gonna call a W like I did earlier. I said the first game the Knicks were gonna lose and they were gonna win this game. I'm not changing my stance on this game just because the Knicks won the first one. The Knicks are gonna win the second game, even if they all play.
Oh, you're saying the Knicks are gonna win against the Celtics this game?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said the first time.
No, you said the Knicks was going to lose game one.
They're going to lose game one, which the Knicks won, right?
Uh-huh.
And I said the Knicks were going to win this one, and I'm not changing that one.
I get you.
That's all right. We had to talk it out.
Yeah.
We had to do the details.
Okay.
So, yeah, Celtics won two of their first three preseason games. This is actually the Celtics' last preseason game. So they've already played all three of their games before the Knicks played their second, which this preseason is a little weirdly scheduled. But
yeah,
they had a long break, obviously, and yeah, it'll come down to who starters play longer. I think because the Knicks could play Boston's already played some of their guys 20 plus minutes. The only starter I think besides Mitch, the only starter in that last game that played 20 minutes was Mitch, and then quickly Grimes. Played 20 minutes. Oh yeah, Grimes played 20 minutes too. Mm-hmm. But Grimes, I don't really consider Grimes, like, he's not going to be the guy who plays 30. You know what I mean? Like,
why do you hate Quentin Grimes?
He's got to show. He's got to show out. I want to see him show out. I want to see him do stuff. But he's not going to be a top 3 minutes getter on the starting lineup. He's not. It's going to be RJ. It's going to be Julius. It's going to be Jalen Brunson.
RJ didn't close a lot of games last year. He didn't close a lot. He wasn't guaranteed to close.
He still averaged more minutes than Quentin Grimes, though.
Yeah, but that was second year Quentin Grimes. This is year 3. He's going to be the best shooter on the team this year, lead defender. He's going to be taking all the biggest matchups. I see him getting a lot more minutes this year, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But
like I said, top 3 minutes, RJ, Randle, and Jalen Brunson.
We'll see. We'll see.
And, you know, if those three play longer minutes than the Boston's big three, big four, however you want to, whatever, the Knicks mm-hmm. will win.
Got it.
All right, so.
Moving on from that game, mm-hmm. The Knicks are going to also face another undefeated team as of right now. The Washington Wizards, who have been undefeated since preseason started. Mm-hmm. They made a lot of moves this offseason, trading Kristaps to Boston in a 3-team trade, landing them the dude from Memphis, Tyus Jones. They also got rid of Chris Paul and got Jordan Poole, still held on to Kyle Kuzma. So I kind of like the Wizards roster. I watched them a few preseason games. I think they don't really play bad. I think they're going to be a better team than they were last year. I don't see them making the playoffs, but I definitely see them in a play-in race. I see Jordan Poole taking a step in his game this year, scoring-wise. Now that he got the keys to the offense with Kyle Kuzma, they're going to be like, I don't even know what to compare them to. They both really good scorers. They just not star caliber players, but I can see them causing fits for a lot of lineups.
Yeah, when I saw this game coming up, I said, "Oh, Bradley Beal." Oh, Kristaps.
Nope.
Let me look at this roster again. I know somebody got. Oh yeah, Jordan Poole got traded to them. So let me look at the
Tyus Jones
roster.
Too. Don't sleep on Tyus Jones.
So
and I think they still got Ish Smith.
I said Jordan Poole, Kyle Kuzma, Tyus Jones, Danilo Gallinari, Corey Kisper, they got a little bit of a roster. It's not a terrible team, but there's no stars.
Dude from France that was playing with Wembanyama, he's good too. Bilal Calamari.
He's got to prove it in the NBA. But anyway.
Kalugali.
Kulubali.
Kulubali.
Something like that. Calamari.
I like him though.
I mean, it's a good team. It's not a terrible team, but there's no stars. There's nobody that you would call a star. Like the closest thing to a star would be Jordan Poole. And they beat the Hornets in the first preseason game with Scary Terry and PJ Washington playing nearly 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So don't sleep on them. Like, they're not a team that you could just walk over.
Right.
But they ain't making no playoffs. So they're going to leave the garden with a foot in their ass, like my brother French be saying, leave the garden with a foot in their ass. You know what I mean? So.
I actually predict the Knicks losing this game.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to show up for this game. It's the last game of the preseason, isn't it?
It is the last game for the Knicks of the preseason, but I think Tibbs is going to try and, you know how Tibbs be, like, that's why Jalen Brunson didn't play the first game. If he doesn't, he played like 5 minutes in the first game, he might not play 6 minutes in today's game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But that last preseason game is going to be like a regular season game.
I disagree. I think the Wolves and the Celtics game is when the roster is really going to play, and this last preseason game is probably when Tibbs is going to sit everybody.
Could be. You could go either way with Tibbs. I kind of have to look at the last few preseasons, but I feel like everybody played like in the game, in the preseason, in all the preseason games, whether it be 5 minutes or 30 minutes, like everybody played. And I feel like in the last game, he tries to do it like a regular game so that they're ready for the regular season.
What's different this year is the back-to-back aspect of the preseason.
This is true.
So this game is going to come on the back end of the back-to-back against Boston.
But I feel like Tibbs is going to just, all right, we'll do 20 minutes in against Boston and 20 minutes against Washington. Like, he don't really care that it's a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. He knows that he's got to preserve their legs, but that doesn't mean you're going to get the day off just because it's a back-to-back.
Right.
So, yeah, I think he's going to take this game serious. You either win or you learn.
Yeah.
Is a favorite Tibbsism, favorite Tibbs quote. So, mm-hmm. he's going to try and go for the win, and he's going to try and learn something while he's doing it, too.
Okay.
All right, let's get to the next topic of the week. Now, French, I don't know what you want to talk about. Do you want me to go first?
Go ahead. Set the tone.
I got some questions for you, bro.
Talk to me.
So, I was looking into the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, we got some topics that we could talk about before the regular season starts. Let's do it now.
Talk to me.
French, who is going to be the Knicks' leading scorer this year?
Alec Burks. You don't like that answer?
No.
All right, so.
No.
If I'm going to say.
Don't be trying to cheat either.
What would you mean?
Don't be trying to look at who was the leading scorer last year. I can just tell you.
Well, the answer to me, I'm off rip going to say Jalen Brunson.
Okay.
I want to see if there's anyone who can rival that outside of Randle. No. And I don't really see anyone.
Isaiah Roby.
I don't really see anyone coming close to, because Jalen Brunson's game is so polished and mm-hmm. he's going to be the lead ball handler on the team. He's going to be orchestrating the offense every night.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get Julius Randle his shine. But because Julius Randle hit All-NBA and All-Star last year and they snubbed Jalen Brunson the whole season, I think he's going to come with something to prove. He lost all medals in Team USA. That pissed him off. I think seeing him end the year on a tear like how he did.
Motivated him.
Definitely motivated him. He's comfortable with his team, so he's going to definitely up his scoring average, up his assist average. Julius Randle's probably going to just maintain where he was, if not go down, because he's going to be taking more efficient shots. I see his efficiency going up, but not his scoring. So Jalen Brunson, to me, is going to be the leading scorer of the New York Knicks. He's going to make his first All-Star appearance for the New York Knicks, All-NBA appearance for the New York Knicks, and he's going to be leading the team to the conference finals.
I think I disagree with you. I think Julius Randle is going to lead the team in scoring again. And originally, I was going to say Jalen Brunson as well.
Okay.
He gave Julius Randle a run for his money last year, too.
For sure.
He was only maybe a point off. Julius Randle scored 25 a game. Brunson scored 24. And I think that they both are going to improve their games.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that means that they're going to probably score about the same, just on better efficiency, or maybe a little bit more. Maybe Julius will score 26 and Brunson will score 25. But I think they both will improve their games, especially if Julius Randle is serious about taking more efficient shots. I don't think that means he's going to take less. I just think he's going to pick his spots. He's going to shoot earlier in the clock, maybe. He's going to, instead of passing up a bad shot, passing up a good shot and then taking a bad shot, he's going to just take that good shot and then accept that. There's a lot of times where he passed up a good shot and then tried to do a step back and then take a bad shot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times he hit it, but I think that he would hit those shots even if he didn't do that. So those are going to be the more efficient shots. He'll still take 8 threes a game or so, and that's going to lead to a higher score.
Okay.
My next question for you, sir. Which rotation Nick is going to see the fewest minutes by the end of the season? Do you want to go through the roster to say who the rotation players are?
Out of the young players, everyone on the team is young.
Well, I didn't say young players. I said the rotation. So we got Jalen Brunson is our starting point guard. Quentin Grimes is our starting shooting guard. RJ's our starting small forward. Julius Randle's our starting four. Mitch is our starting five. Backing up Mitch is going to be Hartenstein. And then we have Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Emmanuel Quickly.
I see Dante DiVincenzo getting the least minutes in our rotation, to be honest with you. I see Quickly being the leading minute getter. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but he's going to be leading in minutes off the bench. Hartenstein is most likely going to be finishing games just due to the fact that he spaces the floor better than Mitch, unless Mitch has an incredible year. So I see him getting a lot of minutes. Josh Hart's going to be playing a lot of minutes too. And that leaves Dante as the odd man out. He's just going to be used as a spot-up shooter for the majority of the season.
He's going to be
glue guy.
Going to be what Evan Fournier was supposed to be.
Yeah, he's going to play the Evan Fournier role, except Fournier was a starter. Mm-hmm. But
a lot of people were calling for him to come off the bench, and I still think that probably would have been great for him if we didn't have so many good players on the roster.
Right.
But all right. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I also think it's going to be Dante DiVincenzo. But that's just based off of one preseason game that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Which young Nick is going to make the biggest leap? Quentin Grimes, Emmanuel Quickly, or RJ Barrett?
I feel like this question is like an alley-oop to say Grimes, just because he has the lowest floor out of the three. But what are you going to say?
I was going to say, yes, he might have the lowest floor, but the hardest leap is the leap that RJ makes. If he doesn't have to do much more than what he's doing, but that's still the hardest leap to make, that would qualify as the biggest leap to me. If he goes from where he's at now to being borderline all-star, that's the leap he has to make. That's a harder leap than what Quentin Grimes has to make, even, you know what I'm saying?
I don't agree, because RJ has shown that he can be an all-star caliber player for months at a time.
He's shown it.
He's shown it in the playoffs. Like, if he does it just more consistently, I don't feel like that's as huge as a leap as Grimes turning into, like, one of the best spot-up shooters in the NBA and lead defenders.
That's the hardest leap to make. It is definitely harder to be consistently that great, to be 20-plus point per game, to get to where Jalen Brunson was last year. They didn't consider him an all-star, right? We did, but just to get to that point, to where people viewed him at that, you know, he scored 24 points per game, whatever, that leap that RJ has to make to get to that level, that's a lot bigger leap than Quentin Grimes to be, you know, he's already to be a starting quality defender and three-point maker, to me. Like, you could disagree. It's your opinion. I'm not going to try and sway you.
Yeah, Quentin Grimes averages 11 points right now.
Mm-hmm.
If he makes a leap to 16 points,
mm-hmm,
I feel like that's the greatest leap that any player can make on his roster, because RJ has already averaged 20. He averaged 19 last year. Mm-hmm. If he bumps it up to 23, 24, are we going to say that's a huge leap?
I mean, you went from 11 to 16, which is a 5-point difference. Mm-hmm. And then RJ got close to 20. And you're saying to go to 23, 24, which is not 5 points. So if I saw RJ make it to 23, 24, I'm saying that's a bigger leap than what Quentin Grimes has to make to me. Because Quentin Grimes just has to hit more threes to get there. He needs to hit, what, two more threes a game? Get his efficiency up a little bit? Listen, like I said, it's your opinion. For me, that leap to get from 19.9 to 22.8, consistently, and to have all of your other stats, just, you know, one assist per game more, one rebound per game more, that leap is harder to make than from Quentin Grimes to get to from 11 to even 17. Like, that's a harder leap to make. It's hard to average 23 points a game. It's hard to average 22, 24 points a game. Like, that's why when RJ hit 20, like, that 20 mark is, like, that differentiates you from being, okay, bona fide starter, from being, okay, he's just a regular rotation player.
The difference is Quentin Grimes is going to be guarding the best player on the other team. every night.
That just goes for importance to me. But anyway, yeah, I think that the biggest leap is probably going to be Emmanuel Quickly.
Really?
Yes. I think that's going to be important because I really believe that Emmanuel Quickly is going to be the main person in a trade for a star player.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't want him to be.
I don't want him to be, but I think that this team is like, listen, if we have to stick with RJ, Jalen Brunson, and Randall, we're fine with that.
Damn, Quentin Grimes was born in 2000. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, did it just hit you how old you are?
My birthday was this week. I'm about to be 30 next year.
Yeah, happy belated birthday,
Thank
bro.
Thank you.
I did mean to mention that at the start, and I forgot. But yeah, happy belated. Everybody, if you see French,
that's crazy.
If you see French at one of the future games, you're like, yo, I know when your birthday is. So yeah, because you guys are gonna see this after he's already at the game, so I can't even tell you that. Anyway, yeah, I think Emmanuel Quickly is gonna be that guy who makes that leap. He's gonna be viewed as a starter. He's not gonna get that 20 points per game because he is coming off of the bench. He is not gonna get as many minutes as Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. But everybody's gonna see his game.
Right.
And they're gonna know. If you put him in the starter's role, he's gonna average starters like stats.
Yeah, he averaged 15 last year.
Right. So he can do it. He can make that leap. He can make that leap, and it's gonna be what we're asking Quentin Grimes to do to make that, okay, go from 11 to 16. He's going to go from 15 to 19 or whatever, and he's going to be viewed as a starter all mm-hmm. across the league. And next after him, I have RJ. It's kind of a toss-up, actually, between RJ and Quentin Grimes, but I'm going to say RJ. I think RJ is going to continue that stretch that he had in playoffs. And that if he's able to do that consistently, that to me is going to be a bigger leap than what Quentin Grimes is going to have to do in order to make that leap. But anyway, will the Knicks season be a failure if they make the play-in?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think if they make the play-in, it comes as a result of some injuries. Hopefully we get players back in the play-in and then they can just make a run after that. But it would take a lot for the season to be a failure in my eyes, just because if we make like a big trade or something like that mid-season and we don't make a leap like how we're expecting to make, mm-hmm. that's just coming as a result of probably just chemistry and stuff like that. For the season to be a failure, I feel like everyone just has to be injured because it's just basically a wasted year.
The whole team has to be injured?
The main pieces of our starting lineup, basically. I think, like, if Randall gets injured, mm-hmm. Brunson gets injured, mm-hmm. I think the season probably is a failure because if we don't meet the same expectations that we set last year, then... I don't know. You answer the question. I don't know. I don't think about failures. We're going to succeed this year. We're going to win. Everybody's going to stay healthy. I don't do this negativity.
I thought I was positive. Aspect. You're annoyingly positive, right?
Thank you.
No, obviously, Brunson and Randall would have to miss significant time at the same time because they both missed time last year.
Right.
And that didn't really do much to hurt the team. Like, it has to be an extended period of time and they both have to be out. Like, they don't have to be out at the exact same time. Like, Jalen Brunson maybe misses a couple weeks. But in those couple weeks, in the second week, Julius Randle gets hurt. And then we go on a losing streak. But even that is hard to kind of see the Knicks go on a really significant losing streak, missing both of them. Because this is a resilient team. Tom Thibodeau coaches very well. He makes sure that everybody is properly prepared. Even when the first man is down, what do they say? Next man up. And that's why we love this team. The Knicks.
So it's not going to be a failure.
I'm not saying the Knicks season is going to be a failure because I asked if.
Okay.
Okay.
Next question.
The Knicks will finish the season as what seed?
Old scolding hot take.
Hot Knicks take?
The hottest Knicks take that you could ask for. Mm-hmm. I'm irrational.
Now this.
I see the Knicks finishing number two in the East.
Number two?
Yeah.
Who's going to be number one?
I predict Milwaukee's going to be number one.
Who's going to be number three?
Boston.
Ooh, Cleveland disrespect. That's all right. We don't
Cleveland's going to be five.
We don't mess with the ops anyway, so.
Cleveland's going to be five. And.
Actually, Boston's ops too, so.
Actually, I'll give Cleveland four. They're going to stay at four.
Yeah?
Maybe the field can just go at five. I don't know. The East isn't that crazy this year.
It's really not, though. It's really not. I'm not surprised to hear you say two seed. I was like, he's not about to say one, is he? Because he's really jumping off the... Yeah. He's really jumping out the window for one.
I ain't going to go that
you
crazy.
You kind of jumping out the window. You kind of like dangling off the ledge with your toe on the ledge saying number two, too. But we not, you know what I mean? I can see it, you know. I can see...
Brooklyn's number five.
Damn, you disrespecting... Who did it? Miami? Miami, we disrespecting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toronto would be six.
Shh. Bro.
Miami would be seven.
Who's eight?
Orlando.
Keep it going. We got down to seven. We can't just stop at seven.
I got Orlando at eight. Hawks at nine.
All right, well, hold on. We're not going to 9, 10, 11.
Like, well,
all right, cool.
That's play-in.
All right, you're right.
I could go to 10.
You can go to 10.
Atlanta at nine. And 10 would be... Indiana.
Okay. I'm not going all the way to 10. But I have Milwaukee 1, Boston 2. And a tie in record between the Knicks and the Cavs at 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say the Knicks 3. Based on divisional record.
Oh, my God. I just disrespected Philly.
Left Philly out you at the whole 10.
You did, too. At the top five.
I didn't say 10. I said 3. I didn't say 4 or 5. I said 3 and 4.
All right, Philly would be
5.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm leaving it. I ain't going unless you want me to go to 6.
Go to 8.
Nope. All right, next question. And last question. Actually, I think you already answered this one. I asked what's your hot take for the season, and that's pretty high. I don't think you get hotter than that. That was like volcano lava hot take, number 2 seed.
Is it?
Number 2? Yeah, that's a volcano hot lava.
Okay.
That's sauna in the oven.
Hot grabba.
Yeah. All right, bro. You got your answers for me.
I actually got another hot take.
I was ready. I was ready for it. Let's go.
I mean, I said it already. The Knicks make the conference finals this year. I see Milwaukee and probably Boston meeting before the conference finals. Second round. So I think the Knicks have... probably the best chance to make the conference finals than they've had in the last 30 years, 20 years.
I think a lot of Knicks media, Knicks propagandists, and Knicks content creators are disagreeing with you. But I don't think it's that hot of a take to say the Knicks would make the... I don't think it's that hot of a take to say the Knicks would make the Eastern Conference finals.
At least. Minimum.
All right, that's kind of...
That's the hot take right there.
That's the hot
take. I'm standing on it. God damn it.
10 toes down. All right, bro. I think we can get up out of here. Once again, please make sure you guys like, share, subscribe, mm-hmm. hit that notification bell.
You know.
Make sure you tell your friends and family that we are the Knicks Take Podcast, talking about the biggest Knicks news of the week. I'm Joshua Focused.
I'm French the Bro Host. We'd like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
Knicks Take.
All right. Peace.
Peace.